Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 7:22. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. Zoe Keane is a science and environmental writer and communicator. So Zoe, before we talk about the, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well.
I realize, just rambling straight into it, not even giving you a chance to say good morning.
I'm excited. I'm intrigued. What are you going to ask?
Right. Yeah. Because today happens to be World Mermaid Day. Yeah.
Amazing.
How cool is that? So,
okay,
so I was just wondering,
and
it is, what is always interesting is I always find it fascinating that, and what are we talking about this morning is this Eastern Water Dragon, an Australian animal that we're not familiar with. But before we do that, what is this concept of a mermaid? I mean, I know the mythical aspects and the feminist aspects about a mermaid having a voice until they become a woman, all of that. But was there any, what was this concept of a mermaid in science?
Oh, wow.
Is there anything? Is there anything that we know sailors have been called by sirens of the sea? You know, is there anything that could have confused them in science to make this concept of this mermaid come about? Have you seen anything?
Have I seen anything? Well, I do know that in times gone by when people were making these amazing illustrative maps of the ocean, when, you know, the whole ocean had not been charted yet, that often there would be images. And if you see these old maps, there's images of these sea monsters that people imagined existed in the maps. And I was researching recently about these ancient accounts of what potentially was a whale or a sea monster that harassed, I think, Roman shipping,
right.
You know, ancient Roman shipping. And there's these accounts of this, you know, Leviathan coming out of the deep and destroying boats. And now scientists think, hang on, maybe that was actually a sperm whale that just had a real grudge because, of course, they're
incredibly smart. Or had a very bad day,
a bad day. And so maybe that, you know, it's this kind of part of the mythos and
very interesting,
you know, the unknown of the sea. But also, if you've ever had an encounter with a seal, that they can look you in the eyes in this way that's just so human. I know that's not, seals aren't, mermaidy, but there's those myths of the Selkie as well, those Celtic myths of the Selkie where the woman or the man will have come out of the ocean and take off their seal skin and there'll be a human inside and then they go back into the ocean. So,
yeah,
there's a lot of myths there.
A lot of it. Very interesting. Well, one thing that isn't a myth is the Eastern Water Dragon. So I'm unfamiliar with it. What is it?
So the Eastern Water Dragon is this fabulous lizard that is really common in Eastern Australia. If you go to the cities like Sydney, or if you go to the Gold Coast, or if you go to Brisbane and go to a park where there's a little bit of water, you might just see one. So that's why I thought it would be a really good thing to chat about, because they're this amazing animal. And if you've ever been to these big East Coast Australian cities, you might just have spotted one. And they're amazing looking. They've got these big wide legs at the back and they stand up on their front feet, often with the males have a red chest and they have a bit of not a frill around their neck. They're not like those classic Australian frill neck lizards, but they've got these kind of horns around the back of their neck that makes them look very dragon-like. And they can also swim and they have these amazing social behaviors and they're just an incredible species, but they are related to species that you also get in Africa. So they're just an incredible animal and one worth talking about for sure.
So, what is it? Is it a lizard? Is it a?
Yeah. So these dragons, the group of lizards that are dragons, they're found in Africa. They're found in Southern Europe, Asia, and in Australia as well. And they are groups of lizards that don't lose their tail. So skinks and geckos often will lose their tail as a defense mechanism. So they don't do that. And they've got these funny teeth that are kind of on the outside of their jaws in an interesting way. They don't have socketed teeth. You know how our teeth fit in sockets? Theirs are more kind of just raised out of the bone in this amazing way. And they, they're just these incredible creatures, and they, yeah, often have this very close relationship with water. So
yeah, because I mean, swimming's in their name. What is their? I mean,
swimming. What was that? Sorry.
Swimming is in their name, so I'm assuming they're good swimmers.
Oh, they're fantastic swimmers. So not all dragons swim. We have one in the desert called the thorny dragon, and that's this incredible desert creature that has, you know, these big spikes all over it, and it is absolutely suited to a dry environment. But the eastern water dragon does swim, and one of its distant relatives is the iguana, which also is very marine and swims. But they can swim for up to 90 minutes. So they can hold their breath for 90 minutes, which is an incredible amount of time when you think about it.
Yeah, that's actually, it's a little bit non-earthy, right? I mean, that's a bit otherworldish. That's a bit scary.
It's a bit scary, absolutely. And what they'll do is they hang out by the water, and one of their big enemies in life is snakes. So say if a snake comes by or a human comes by, they can just race into the water and get away. And because they can stand, you know, be underwater for 90 minutes, you know, no one's got the patience to wait around for them to come back. So it's a really good escape mechanism for them. And if you ever see a video of them swimming as well, they're such powerful swimmers. They've got these huge long tails
to propel themselves through the water. Yeah, it's almost like a crocodile. Do they, and how do they reproduce?
So they reproduce laying eggs, and which is interesting because some lizards give birth to live young and other lizards give birth using eggs, you know, in that classic eggy way. But they're one of those species of reptiles that actually has temperature dependent sex determination. So you might have heard about this in crocodiles and in lizards.
Amazing.
But what determines whether an animal is male or female isn't necessarily the chromosomes, but it's the temperature at which the egg incubates, which, of course, as the climate is changing really rapidly, can for some species cause problems. Because if you're only getting males, for instance, you're in real strife. And some species of lizards can actually reproduce without males. And so if you're only getting females, maybe you'll survive, but you lose genetic diversity. It's not a good situation.
Right. One of our listeners are asking if it's related to the Komodo dragon.
No, so the Komodo dragon is, even though it's called a dragon, is a type of monitor lizard. And they're another kind of animal entirely, and they're amazing. Okay. So we've got quite a few monitor lizards in Australia. You might have heard of the goanna. And they're these amazing predatory creatures, and they've got this incredible system that allows them to breathe while they run. And so they have this amazing endurance. So other lizards really struggle to run for long distances, whereas monitors can breathe and run really effectively.
Yeah, I've got friends who can breathe and run at the same time. I'm always amazed. Zoe Keen, Science Environmental Writer. Definitely not. Thank you, as always. Such a fascinating discussion. I greatly look forward to them on a Wednesday. It is 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.